Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to University Mennonite Church. I'm Kate Heinzel, for those who don't know me. Pastor, so glad to be here with you. Let's take a moment, take a breath as we enter this time of worship. Maybe letting go of what came before, setting aside what comes next, and being present to this time of worship and holy rest. Our call to worship today is from Psalm 15. And I invite you to listen for the attributes that God desires of us, the beloved community. So may you hear these words. O beloved, whom will you invite into the abode of your heart? Who will dwell with you in love? One who walks with integrity, who is in harmony with your word and sings the heart's song, whose tongue speaks truth, judging not others and seeking only the good, whose eyes behold not the outer garments of the body, but see within the inner robe of love, whose own weaknesses are acknowledged and brought to light in prayer, who is just in all affairs of life and takes not advantage of another. One who does all these things will join the dance of life, will sing the song of joy. May we join the dance of life this hour together. And as we light this peace lamp today, remembering those around the world, perhaps especially those impacted in India by flood, those impacted in Pennsylvania here in Lancaster, York, Lebanon counties especially. Join me in prayer. God of love and peace, light a flame of love in our hearts to you, a flame of love to our neighbors, a flame of love to our enemies. Light a flame of peace in our hearts for those around the world who suffer today, for those impacted by violence, by storm, by flooding, by uncertainty. May your light burn brightly in us, through us, and among us, we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able and turn in your green books to number 5.
Please join in the refrain. We'll start with the refrain. I'll have Krista play this through once, and then I'll be singing it in English, but you may choose any language which is meaningful to you. So we can have many tongues in this space here.
I think there are a few more children here than Lily and Annika. Good morning, boys and girls. Today's Bible reading is about gifts. How many of you have gotten a gift? All right, how about you tell me some of the gifts you've gotten? Annika? What gift have you gotten?
Joey's
got
a gift for his
mom. Oh, does he have it with him?
No.
Not with him? Oh. A truck? Exciting. Yeah. Oh, you put a sticker on a cake? Oh, a digger on a cake. Oh, for his birthday.
My grandma always buys me Lego sets for gifts.
Yeah, Lego sets are a great gift. What other gifts have you gotten? Wow, that, you are a very lucky grandson. Lily?
Art supplies.
Yeah, art supplies. Alethea?
My
grandma
makes us
Oh, dresses are a great gift, too. So I brought a gift that I got when I was 4 years old. You see what it is? What does it say on it? Amy, because that's my name. I've kept this gift for 35 years. When I was a little girl, all my brothers and sisters knew which cup was mine because it said my name on it. And when I went off to college, all my roommates knew which cup was mine. And now Brendan knows which cup is mine in our house. So I've kept this gift for 35 years. Why do you think we give gifts? Anyone have any ideas? Any thoughts about why we give gifts? Alethea?
Because if you love someone, you just do it anyway. Even sometimes for no reason.
That's right. When we love someone, a gift is a way of showing that we love them. Now, it's kind of tiny, but underneath my name, there's some words. When I was 4 years old, I could read my name, but I couldn't read these words. But when I got older, I could read these words. Does anyone see what they say? Yeah, it says beloved one. Now, it took me a while to figure out why those words were underneath my name on this mug. But when I got older and I took Latin, I realized that my name came from the Latin word for love. Part of the reason I've kept this mug for 35 years is because it reminds me that gifts show love. And that, yeah, and that when we give gifts, we show love. And when we receive gifts, we experience love. Today's Bible reading says that all gifts come from God. And that's because all gifts are a way of showing love. Of showing God's love. It's a way that we experience and participate in God's love. All right, so next time you get a gift, whether it's your birthday or whether you get a gift for no reason at all, remember that God's love is with that gift too.
I think we heard a little mini sermon there in giving gifts. So we'll move into the collection of the offering. Let us give thanks to the giver of all good gifts. Oh God, you are the great provider, the giver of all gifts. Your love, the only true currency. Thank you for putting the gift of money into our hands, and we freely offer it back to you to use in your service. We do in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. This is the time in the service where we introduce visitors. So if you're with us for the first time and feel comfortable in standing, please do so. Wait for an usher who has a microphone. If someone is with you, they might introduce you. I'd like to start by introducing Dave Mishler. He's not new to this congregation, but as the Allegheny Conference minister, he's here today to bring our message. So welcome, Dave. Anyone else who might be introduced?
I will introduce our son and his wife, Brian and Lauren. And they have three boys, and they are Josiah, Jackson, and John. And they braved the waters on 283 last Thursday evening, Friday evening, and were able to get to our house. So we're really glad to have this time with them.
Welcome. Glad you're here. Well, I invite Dave up to offer our scripture for this morning.
Our scripture this morning is from James' letter. You may find it in your pew Bible on page 980. I will begin by reading verse 17. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down the Father of lights, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and become with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world.
Indeed, I think we already heard the sermon in a sentence that God gives good gifts for no reason at all. That's sort of the gist of what I want to say, so I could stop right there. But I drove an hour 45 minutes, so I better say a few more words than that, I guess. But it was a good word in the children's time. This is a day that many have been highly anticipating. Not me coming to preach, by the way, but to have a new lead pastor ready to settle in with you. Welcome, Kate, to University and to Allegheny Conference. I'm privileged to share this first day with you. We will have a more formal installation service on October 21, if I have my calendar correct, and I'll look forward to seeing you again then. So this morning I could preach on leadership. I could use Ephesians 4, that's a text that's often gone to, or something from Timothy. But I decided to stay with the lectionary text for today from James 1. I like James. James is a letter that is practical and down to earth, dealing with the nitty-gritty of life. And even though Luther thought James was a book of straw, it made the canon, and I think it's beloved by many Anabaptists. I'm going to start, though, by going to the heavenly part of this text rather than the down-to-earth part. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That's quite a verse. If we listen closely, it's quite a world view. Our Creator God is consistent. God can be trusted. God indeed gives good gifts. And God chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all God created. So God gives good gifts, and perhaps one of the best gifts is that we have been given birth into this kind of first fruits of everything that God has ever created. We, you and me, are part of these first fruits. We are God's good gifts to one another. The God of heavenly lights, that phrase directs us to think about the Creator God as the one who gives gifts. This Creator God, the God of heavenly lights, the God of the sun, moon, and stars, day 1 and 4 of creation. It's all part and parcel of the creative activity of God. If we live in a world where God can be trusted, if we live in a world where our Creator God gives good gifts and even very good gifts, if we live in a world where we are included in God's plans for forwarding a way of life that is like giving the best of the best to each other, first fruits, then we are indeed able to celebrate. We are able to move without fear into an uncertain future. Not because of who we are, but because of who God is and how God has conceived that those who engage with this God have hope in the face of whatever comes at us. After all, God gave us Jesus Christ, the best gift, and James writes this letter as a servant of the God who gave us Jesus. He says so in verse 1. Do you know this kind of God? Do you know this kind of world? Now, James pulls no punches. This gets to the nitty-gritty part. Whenever you face trials in the real world, you need to learn something about perseverance. That's verse 2. If you doubt this God, you might be tossed about and not receive very much. Verse 6. If you're rich, beware. Verse 10. You best be ready to persevere. But God doesn't do tempting just for the fun of it. Watch out for what entices you. Verse 14. All of this is prelude The first is preceding this verse about good gifts from above. I think Greg Boyd gives us a really good picture of the kind of doubt James is talking about in verses 6 to 8. Wonderful book he wrote, Benefit of the Doubt, 2013. It's worth checking out. This doubt that's talked about here isn't about a psychological problem of being convinced in our own mind about receiving what we ask from God. It's a sort of mind game that if, you know, we believe hard enough, we can get what we want. That faith is somehow a matter of unshakable convincing. Indeed, the kind of doubt here is describing more of a crisis of loyalty. Faith isn't just believing something hard enough. Faith is much more about a covenant relationship into a way of life. If we are in a covenant relationship with this Creator God because of the ministry of Jesus, then if we allow ourselves to be tossed around by other loyalties, then we indeed may have a crisis of faith on our hands. This isn't about believing something correctly in order to get an outcome. It's about a faith that is solidly grounded in an unwavering covenant relationship with God. Doesn't that fit with the worldview being spun out through the whole letter of James? Doesn't it fit with James' primary message that God is consistent and God can be trusted? So on this day, we celebrate a gift from God in the person of a new leader. And this isn't some kind of magic that God does because we prayed hard enough and never doubted. We celebrate God's good gifts because all good gifts come from God, come from above. And we can trust God now and tomorrow to be consistent with helping us persevere and grow in mature faith because that's the business God is in. And God's purpose for each of us is to give us birth through the word of truth into becoming a first fruits gift to one another in all that God creates. Each one of us, a first fruits gift to one another, because that's the nature of God's creative plan, such is James' word to the church here in his opening chapter. But there are also some sober words in our text today. Human anger doesn't produce the righteousness and justice that God desires. We are instructed to be slow to speak, slow to anger. When we pontificate too much, we allow anger to be our first response, and we risk a great deal when we do that. The antidote is to be quick to listen. Listen to God's word, listen to one another. And God's word in this book, but God's word, this book being what we call God's word much of the time. We're supposed to listen to that word, but we're also supposed to listen to one another. That's also part of God's word, or it can be. Bruxy Cavey, I think, author of the recent Herald Press book, Reunion, he says, when asked if he believes in the inerrant word of God, he says, I do believe in the inerrant word of God, which is Jesus. When congregations get in an uproar, and that can easily happen, it's often because we don't heed these words. Be quick to listen. Speak slowly. Anger slowly. We've all heard that response is better than reaction. And that's another way of saying the same thing as these verses. Getting rid of all evil happens best in the context of humility. All of that's part of this process. We can't merely listen to these words. We have to put these directives into practice. Else we deceive ourselves, verse 22. Otherwise, we're like little children who forget one minute to the next. Now, it's great that my 3- and 5-year-old can be mad and screaming at each other one minute, walloping their siblings, making up and getting along fine the next, like nothing ever happened. But that's no way for adults to behave, especially adults living into the lifestyle of Christ. Changing our behavior from one minute to the next, not speaking slowly and listening, it's like looking in a mirror one minute and forgetting who we are the next. There's much freedom when we don't forget these directives, when we remember the directives to listen and speak slowly and anger slowly. There's blessing in such an act of faith, it says in verse 25. You can be religious. You can be righteous in your own eyes. But if you don't keep a tight rein on what you say, people can get hurt. Saying that I believe in the inerrant word of God, but behaving like a child, such religion is worthless. Verse 26. I find it interesting that James 1, 17 to 27 is the lectionary text for today as we welcome a new leader. And it speaks so well into the nitty-gritty of church life, of real life. If you want to move beyond the basics that is talked about here in the center of the text, know that real religion, a religion that God accepts as pure and faultless, it says in verse 27, the capstone of this section of James' instructions, we want to see what that kind of religion looks like. It's to look after those who are on the margins. Widows and orphans were at the bottom of the social ladder in first century Palestine. In some ways, not much has changed. But this scripture is dealing with marginalized people, structurally marginalized people. Who are these today? Widows and orphans still qualify. But the list is also different because of the ways our culture structurally marginalizes people. You here in State College are the best to identify those persons marginalized here in this neighborhood. Be attentive. Be quick to listen. They likely look a bit different in Scottsdale and Pittsburgh and Hyattsville and Johnstown. So developing your own specific ministry objectives here is a high priority if you want to work at pure and faultless religion. If you focus on your neighbors, on those marginalized in this town, you will keep yourselves from being polluted by the world, the scripture says. Notice that this is a different message than we have traditionally heard of nonconformity. This is a nonconformity text for many Anabaptists. But we're not nonconformists to James. We are nonconformists to James when we look particularly different from the majority culture. That's not the answer. But we are nonconformists when we actively pursue marginalized persons. The world doesn't normally do that. We conform to the work of Jesus when we love and assist those who need love and assistance. Such is true religion. That's the James text. I do want to say a couple words about leadership today, though. In 1987, John Piper said that there are five attributes of a good leader. Risk-taking, especially taking risk to support hopeful leaders within the congregation. Having a good eye and a glad heart for the potential of grace. That's number two. Number three, a good leader has a humble and self-effacing spirit. The ability to fade into the background as others are sort of encouraged into more prominence. Fourth, he said, a good leader has patience, especially with the failure of others. And five, a good leader is free from materialism. He holds Barnabas up as a biblical example. Now, I'm less interested in ferreting out all the details in these 5 points, and instead I wish to say that thinking of leadership as mostly as an assisting endeavor is a helpful one. Leaders don't need all the answers. Leaders don't need to have the most wisdom in the room, although some wisdom and a little life experience is good. Leaders don't need to take everything on that is thrown at them. I like the old adage that a leader is someone who has followers, or at least a group who is willing to work mutually at the goals of this organization. A leader with no followers is someone just out taking a walk. Piper's Barnabas comparison is helpful, I think, though, for putting some meat on the bone. Not afraid to venture into uncharted territory. That's risk-taking. A good grasp of grace, both given and received. Humility, a servant's heart. Patience, especially for everyone willing to participate in this venture here at University Mennonite. And an aspiration other than material gain. Kate, being a Mennonite pastor, qualifies. All these things will serve you well as a new leader. And to help her be that leader, your willing engagement for the work of this congregation in this neighborhood will serve you, and it will serve the cause of Christ well. Humbly accept the word planted in you, from verse 21, gives voice to this mutual nature of ministry that happens within a congregation. Someone has done some planting in every life here, or you wouldn't be here. But each of us has the task of accepting and nurturing that planting within our own life into something that takes root and grows into something more sustainable, less fragile, more mature than when the planting began. Maturity is a way to describe persons who are not tossed about with other loyalties from earlier in the chapter, who don't forget right away what brings the best focus when considering the Word of God, and the welfare of others, looking for widows and orphans and the marginalized here, helping a congregation into such priorities, helping folks in this community find themselves and working with those on the margins, however those margins are identified in State College. That is the work God prepared and prepares us for. A gift of God from above to one another, and a gift to the State College community. The heading in my Bible, an NIV Bible, for the largest portion of this text says that today we are to do some listening and doing. Don't just listen and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The doing that you develop together, inspired by the life and work of Jesus and infused by the power of the Holy Spirit, will be your witness to the vitality of the kingdom of God that is growing here. Such is every good and perfect gift.
Lots going on in the community. There are announcements in the bulletin. But I'm wondering if there's anything else that ought to be shared, and if anyone's going to make an announcement about Camp Hebron next week.
Oh, that'll be me, Rodney Brubaker again. So it's next weekend. You guys know that. So the science sheet's still out there in the lobby on the bulletin board. So I think I kind of almost maybe 35 now, right now. So maybe more might get to Elaine before that. So don't forget. And it's, like I say, free and a church budget. You all know that too. And it's packed full, a lot of fun stuff to do. So hope to see you there.
So no worship here next Sunday.
No, we'll be here. No, we'll be here next Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. What other announcements?
Good morning, Terry Yoder, your Interfaith Human Services rep, along with Joyce. And I'm happy to say that we did raise over $1,000 for Joel to go over the edge on Thursday, October 11th. He's going to be rappelling off the new Hyatt building downtown sometime during that day. So if you haven't heard me make this announcement before, we needed to raise $1,000 for Joel to do that. And all of those proceeds go to Interfaith Human Services. It's going to be a fun time. And if we would like to have another edger from our congregation, feel free to step up and volunteer. That includes you, Kate, if you'd like to go. So Whew. We can do it.
Thank you, Joel.
I'm Karen Rath, and since I'm not going to Camp Hebron, I can't remind you next Sunday that on the following Sunday, the 16th, there is a congregational business meeting. It'll be right after the service at 11. And so if you have any reports, please get them to me by the following Monday, which is September 10th. And it's on the website for congregation meetings. We have some reports up now, the budget report, the financial stuff's up there, so that's our big issue for the meeting. So if you have anything to get to me by September 10th, thank you.
Any birthdays this week that we can celebrate together? I see a hand here.
I hate to admit it, but I'll be 74 tomorrow. Hope Brubaker.
Do you want to lead us?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Blessings on another year, Hope. Well, as we prepare to leave this place, prepare to move back into whatever our days and weeks hold, may we be listeners, listeners and doers. And may we go in love, for love alone endures. May we go in peace, for it is the gift of God, and may we go with courage, for we cannot go where God is not. Please stand for the sending song.